Debug the hive, kick back, clear your mind.
TSMC just pledged an additional $100 billion to build four advanced chip fabs in the United States, bringing its planned U.S. investment to roughly $265 billion. Welcome to Debug the Hype. I'm Alex Morgan, and this show is not affiliated with Reddit or any subreddit. Today's date is July 20th, 2026. That single funding decision anchors a wider theme. Governments, companies, and communities are all rewiring how new technology gets built and governed. China ordered companies to suspend or redesign AI boyfriend and girlfriend companion features this week, and major domestic platforms, including ByteDance, Alibaba, and Tencent, reportedly paused those services ahead of the rules. Regulators say the bots excessively cater to users and risk emotional dependence, and the new rules require clear labeling of AI content and a duty to notify a guardian or emergency contact if a user appears in crisis. One official rationale tied the move to concerns about falling birth rates. Watch this, because it's not just a narrow content rule, it's a flag that states will regulate anthropomorphic AI on social and demographic grounds, so expect similar policy tests in other jurisdictions. U.S. crude inventories are now being described in some trading threads as covering roughly 43 days of consumption, and the Strategic Petroleum Reserve was reported at about 316.5 million barrels, the lowest level since the early 1980s. Markets reacted. Brent crude pushed back above $90 a barrel amid renewed Middle East tensions and tanker disruptions around the Strait of Hormuz, and U.S. refinery margins hit fresh highs as supplies tightened. That matters for consumers and central bankers. When emergency buffers are thin, smaller shocks can nudge gasoline prices and feed through into inflation expectations. So keep an eye on inventory reports and geopolitical incidents over the coming weeks.
Alphabet is set to report second quarter results this week, and consensus estimates compiled by LSEG point to revenue and earnings growth north of 20%. Still, investor focus is split. A recent report that the company delayed the flagship Gemini AI model cut shares by about 4%, and the company has been selling stock to fund large data center builds. Expect the quarter to be treated as a test of whether ad growth and cloud momentum can cover aggressive AI capital spending. Short-term moves will likely be headline-driven, but guidance on capital intensity and timing for new models is what will matter for the next 6 to 12 months.
What happened in Suffolk, Virginia this spring landed as a vivid local flashpoint in a national fight over surveillance and privacy. An Air Force engineer was arrested and accused of cutting down 13 pole-mounted license plate cameras made by the firm Flock and re-aiming several others away from roads so they couldn't capture traffic. According to police filings and local reporting, the tampering began in April. When questioned, the accused told officers the cameras were unconstitutional and a violation of Fourth Amendment rights. Those are strong words, but the act, physical sabotage of municipal equipment, also crosses clear legal lines. Prosecutors will treat it as a criminal matter, and defense claims about constitutional rights will be hashed out in court, not on utility poles. Why this one act matters beyond Suffolk is the scale and opacity of automated license plate reader networks across the country. Flock and similar vendors operate cameras that scan thousands of plates and ingest that data into searchable databases used by dozens of law enforcement agencies. Privacy advocates point to documented misuse, officers reportedly using queries to stalk partners, or data being shared with federal immigration authorities, into the chilling effect of a near-permanent record of vehicle movements. Cities and counties have already begun to push back. A number of jurisdictions have declined to renew contracts, imposed strict retention limits, or established ordinance-level bans. In Los Angeles, for example, officials cited civil liberties concerns when they chose not to renew a Flock contract. The empirical anchors are straightforward. Tens of thousands of such cameras operate or are contractually available nationwide, and the policy choices communities make determine whether that surveillance is transparent and constrained
or broad and persistent.
Listen to the Reddit threads on this, and you hear two distinct instincts that will shape the debate. A civil disobedience strain that celebrates anyone who cuts down cameras as a defender of liberty, and a rule of law strain that worries sabotage will do more harm than good, destroying public trust and impeding investigations into violent crime. Both instincts are politically persuasive in different places. My read is that this episode will push the argument from abstract theory into municipal politics. Expect town councils, county boards, and state legislatures to face citizen petitions demanding either stricter controls or outright bans. Practically, that means three policy moves to watch for. 1. Clear procurement rules forcing vendors to disclose data sharing arrangements and retention periods. 2. Technical constraints, like short retention windows, mandatory on-device processing, and audit logs. And 3. Legal guardrails governing cross-agency access and private-party commercialization of plate reads. Tech fixes like differential privacy are part of the toolbox, but here the crucial levers will be contracts and local political will.
The second deep story is the headline that opened this show, an additional $100 million billion from Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company to expand U.S. manufacturing, bringing the total planned U.S. investment to about $265 million billion, and including the construction of four more advanced fabs in Arizona, designed for leading nodes such as 2-nanometer production. The company's CEO, C.C. Wei, framed this as both a market response to surging demand for AI compute and an answer to geopolitical risk. By citing more capacity in the United States, they argue, customers get shorter supply chains and more control over critical chips. Those are defensible economic reasons, but the numbers tell a deeper story about timing, cost, and strategic trade-offs.
Here are the concrete anchors you need. $100 billion in new CapEx, roughly $265 billion total U.S. commitment, four additional fabs, and a stated focus on nodes like 2-nanometers, the bleeding edge for GPUs and AI accelerators. Building at that scale is not like opening a factory in 6 months. Modern leading-edge fabs take many years, tens of billions of dollars each, to spec, and depend on a complex industrial ecosystem, specialty gases, ultra-pure chemicals, photomask suppliers, extremely precise equipment, and trained wafer fab labor. The immediate impacts are threefold. First, there's a political and strategic message. The U.S. will host a significant share of advanced node capacity, which feeds into deterrence and supply chain resilience narratives that motivated the CHIPS Act subsidies in the first place. Second, the investment changes investor math. Supply that was once primarily in Taiwan and South Korea is now capital intensive and partially onshore, which raises the break-even horizons for customers and could firm up long-term pricing for advanced nodes, even as it increases near-term capital risk. Third, there are spillover effects. The build will increase demand for construction, tooling, and even workforce training, sectors that can see outsized gains, but also bottlenecks.
Reddit conversations on the stock subreddit reflected those split views. Fans celebrated potential tens of thousands of high-paying jobs and a stronger domestic semiconductor base. Skeptics pointed to the long lead times and asked whether the U.S. can actually staff and supply these fabs at scale. Both have a point. Practically, what matters for markets and policy are three watch items over the next 12 to 36 months: whether permits and environmental reviews proceed without major delays, whether equipment suppliers can meet accelerated demand without sparking a secondary shortage, and whether yields on 2-nanometer processes reach commercially viable rates once the fabs go online. If any of those three falter, the economics look very different. There's also a national security and export control angle that's easy to miss in headline coverage. Building advanced nodes in the U.S. does not by itself eliminate the technology transfer or geopolitical concerns that worried policymakers. Equipment manufacturers and some source materials still have global footprints, and workforce mobility across borders remains a factor. Expect the administration to pair incentives with tighter export rules for certain classes of equipment and designs, and for allied coordination, the European Union, Japan, and South Korea are all relevant, to become operationally important.
In short, this is not a single company enjoying a windfall, it's a structural recalibration that will ripple through trade policy, academic research partnerships, and corporate supply chain planning.
One market consequence worth flagging: increasing domestic advanced production could make U.S. customers more willing to commit to long-term purchase agreements for AI accelerators and data center silicon, which in turn affects memory demand, power infrastructure investment, and cloud CapEx planning. There's a possible Jevons paradox dynamic at play. More efficient chips and greater supply can lower unit costs and broaden adoption, which lifts aggregate demand for supporting tech like high bandwidth memory. If you're an investor or a procurement lead at a hyperscaler, you shouldn't treat this announcement as instantaneous capacity. Treat it as a multi-year shift that raises the floor on advanced node availability while increasing the sensitivity of customers to execution risks. Before I move on, two practical takeaways from these deep items. First, municipal tech governance will be a proximate battleground for privacy and public safety trade-offs. Keep an eye on local ordinances and contract transparency demands. Second, the chip reshoring play is real and massive, but it will show up unevenly across sectors and over years. The short-term winners are the construction and equipment suppliers, while long-term value depends on yields, permits, and allied policy coordination.
Are we watching rulemaking catch up with technology, or are we watching technology bend policy to new economic priorities? Probably both, and that tension will decide which innovations scale and which get contained. I'm Alex Morgan from Debug the Hype.
Debug the Hype, where the builders talk it through. Oh, yeah. From the glitch to the glow, every line, every clue.
Debug the Hype.
Tune in, take that ride.